Good morning as we gather on this day in which God has made. What a joy to assemble into the household of faith. And I'm so glad you're here today. What a delight to worship. And I know that there's some who listen to us on the radio. There's others who gather with us outside or in their different places and gathering. Wherever you are, may you know the peace and the presence of God as we worship. Just a couple of things. First, you might notice our bulletin cover looks a little different than it normally does. And what we're doing, again, is inviting our young people to draw pictures for our bulletin. I am so glad that they are doing that again. Abigail, kind of mine, I did that for us. Abigail, would you, if you don't mind, would you just wave so we know who you are? All right. And thank you for doing that. Abigail, I'm going to get your signature, if you don't. I do that because I like when I meet famous people and artists to get their signatures. And young people, you might be asked if you would draw a picture. And we're so glad when you do. What a delight to do that. So thank you, Abigail, for sharing that picture with us. And notice also we received a thank you card. Some of us know that we support the deacons, rather, support families in need. And no one knows who those families are except for the deacon, and every now and then I will know that. And we received a note from one of the recipients, and they just will say to this church that they're humbled and blessed, and thank you for the love and support and kindness that you shared. And so while you may not know who this person is, your generosity and your help have touched their lives and met their need. And so thank you for that. Notice also some announcements in our bulletin. Thank you for those who helped on the men's breakfast on yesterday. And we had to move it a little bit because we had the craft fair or the craft gathering on the second Sunday and second Saturday of the month. And so thank you for those who were able to gather for that. Today after church, we have our large coffee hour, and we invite you to gather. It was so difficult to concentrate during Sunday school. I teach Sunday school in the morning downstairs, and all this food is coming in, passing me by. And so thank you for those who have been bringing food and have brought food. We'll look forward to sharing that in just a moment. Our December newsletter is due coming up, and then also you'll see the mission of the month. The Jim Thanksgiving food basket, it will be Saturday the 22nd, the distribution of that. And please notice some items that's needed: stuffing mix, cranberry sauce, applesauce, gravy, turkey or chicken broth, yams, boxed mashed potatoes, scalloped potatoes, vegetables, brownies or cake mix. And so these are some items if you're so inclined to would like to support and supply. We'll be grateful for that. Our Thanksgiving Junction Ecumenical Ministry service will be on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Tuesday, November 25th. And so please make note of that. And then we're taking nominations for elders and deacons, and so we're appreciate that. I wonder if there's any other announcements that we wish to share. Yes, Mrs. Hemstreet? Right, for the Christmas plants, please see Mrs. Hemstreet. And then I see Nancy's hand.
Two things. One, just for the kids' crafts, just a reminder to please register that you're coming to the class because it's growing. And we had a lot of kids on Saturday, and some of them didn't register, but we had extra supplies, so we were good. But if you plan to come, please just let me know.
Oh, wonderful. No, I've said wonderful. Great, I'm sorry.
And then the second thing on the Race Across America, I'm waiting for a count because I know lots of people mailed in checks, so hopefully I'll have a count next week that will say that we've reached our goal and stuff.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And if you're not sure and you still want to give online, I'm sure they'll take your contribution online for that. All right, are there any other announcements? Hearing none, our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Let us prepare for worship during this time of prelude. Thank you, Linda, and all things give thanks. Let us join together in our introit. If you're able to stand with us as we sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Sentences this morning will take us to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 65, we read responsively, please. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in the sounds of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives to be aged, or an old man who does not have the days. For the child shall die. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be. And my chosen shall enjoy the works of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, all their children from calamity. For they shall be offspring. Blessed the Lord, and their children with them. Before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet and a lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like an ox, and thus shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Let's continue our worship, please, with our first hymn of praise. Number 2, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Thank you. Please be seated. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he might have mercy upon them, and to our God that he might abundantly pardon. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we confess that we are troubled by the events of our lives and the state of this world. Headlines are full of wars, insurrections, sufferings, earthquakes, famines, and death. These things are enough to shake our faith and to undermine our confidence in your promise. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Deliver us from speculation that distracts us from faithful living and loving service. Forgive us when we doubt your promises. Help us to endure that we may gain our souls. Always bear witness to your love and your grace. Hear us as we spend a few moments, Holy Father, in prayer and silent reflection in Jesus' name. Hear us as we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases. Beloved people of God, believe this good news and let us live in the loving kindness of our God. Just before we're seated, let us affirm what we believe by saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and of life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Hear these words, please, our Lord Jesus Christ has said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second one is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two commands depends all of the law and all of the prophets. Amen. Our words of assurance will come to us this morning. From Psalm 17, verses 1 through 9.
Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to cry me, to meet my cry.
Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From thee let my vindication come. Let thy eyes see the right. If thou triest my heart, if thou visitest me by night, if thou testest me, thou wilt find no wickedness in me. My mouth does not transgress.
With regard to the works of the men by the world of thy lips I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast and path
to thy mouth.
Oh, held fast thy path. My feet have not slipped.
I call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. O God, incline thy ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show thy steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at thy right hand.
Keep me as the apple of the eyes. Hide me in the shadow of the thigh wings. From the wicked who despoils my spoils me my
deadly
enemies who surround me.
Good. This is the word of the Lord.
Father and to
the Son.
Thank you. Please be seated. Right now, our ministry of music. Also, not only are the children coloring in the bulletins, but they're also singing again. And it's so good to see them. And I usually switch chairs because sitting behind the pulpit, I can't see them and their actions. And wasn't that wonderful? It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Got nervous there for a moment before we get to our children's sermon. I got nervous a little bit when we were reading the scriptures because I thought for a moment that they had turned to the wrong passage. And I looked down and I was in Proverbs chapter 7. And so I tried it real slickly. I had to turn to Psalm 7. And what a wonderful, wonderful passage of scripture. And as you read that one phrase, the apple of the eye, the apple of my eye. And that phrase appears one other time in scripture. I think it's only other time. And that's in Zechariah chapter 2, when God says, when you touch my people, You touch the apple of my eye. And one of the ways I think about that is I think of the apple of the eye as the pupil. The pupil. And I never shall forget when I first started wearing contacts. And I have to put that in my eye. And I often touched the apple of my eye. And it was painful when I do that. And God says, when you touch one of my people, you touch the apple of my eye. And I like to think about that when I think about our precious children. Whenever people will want to do harm to children, God says, you're touching the apple of my eye. And that hurts. And I'm going to stop it and not let that go. Okay, now, you have heard often that we're talking about consistory. We are asking people to join consistory. And you say, what in the world is consistory? Well, consistory are leaders in the church, the three offices of consistory: minister of word and sacrament, elders, and deacons. Ministers of word and sacrament, elders, and deacons. And so I just want to illustrate what elders, one of the things, elders do a different thing, but one of the things that elders do, and then next week we'll talk about the deacons, when they deek. So elders. So if you are an elder here, would you just put your hand up so we can see? Just look around. You say, I'm talking about these people here. One of the things that elders do, and we say that the elders fence the table. Fence the table. And fencing the table means they protect the communion table. And what that actually means is, when we say protecting the table, they protect, they guard and help the members of the church and make sure that they are safe. They make sure that the members of the church are safe. If they need any spiritual help, the elders are there. They want to make sure that they're here to receive communion and Mary or baptism. They fence the church. They protect the table. So, I need some help. Now, you don't have to move anywhere. You stay right where you are, young people. When I was in gym class, we used to play dodgeball. I think that some still play that today. Y'all still play dodgeball sometimes? You don't know what that's going on, man. Older folk. Adults, how many remember dodgeball? Okay, so we're going to do a little bit of dodgeball. And so I want you to put a ball in your hand like this, and then I want you to throw it. Like that, okay? Now, I'm an elder, and we're going to start on this side first. And I want you at different times, I want you to throw a ball at me. And not now. Can you control this guy here? No, all right, you throw this ball at me. And when you do, I'm going to guard that ball from hitting your table, okay? This side, don't do it with this side, because I'm not that fast. Yeah, you get your turn. Okay, you ready? When I count to three. One, two, three. That's all you got? Ooh, oh, oh. Okay, all right, okay, so. Whew. Okay, this side. Now, this is the easy side. You see, they're not going to be able to do it. They can't throw any balls over here. Okay, are y'all ready? Okay, when I count to three, one, two, four. Oh, okay. One, two, three. That's yours. Oh, wow. That's yours. Okay, that's it. That's it. Oh, that's another one. Oh. You see, the elders' job, and they're a lot better shape than I am, is to protect members, guard the table, protect them, because everyone is important, and everyone is special, and everyone needs to know that they matter. So when you start to throw those balls, and we're going to guard them, not because we don't like it, we're protecting our members. So those are elders. Boy, oh, I'm kind of nervous about what the deacons would do next week. Well, you got to come to see that. I'll give them enough time to rest. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you that you love us so much that you equipped elders to care for your members. And we're thankful for the elders that we have and those of whom we might be considering joining this group of leaders. We pray in your most holy name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals, please, as our young people gather for children's church. Let's take our hymnals, please, and turn to our next hymn of praise, 236. Skip down to verse 4 as the last. Faithful I'll be today. Seated. You know, sometimes you never know when you choose a hymn where you're the only one that knows it, or very few, but you stuck in there. Wow, that's fantastic. Well, I'm going to put that one on my list. Linda said, I have you on my list too, right? Thank you, Linda. Bless your heart. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for this opportunity as we worship to not only pray, not only sing and hear our wonderful young people gather and sing, not only to read your word, but Father, to invite you to speak to us through your word. And I ask that you will use me as your vessel on this hour, this time, to proclaim your word faithfully. For we have gathered in this place not to hear more about Kent, but to hear more about Jesus. And so we ask your blessing upon your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning will take us to Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, and verses 5 through 19. And we're just simply talking about the last days. The last days. Luke chapter 21. We pick it up on verse 5. And some spoke of the temple, how it adorned with noble stones and offerings. He said, as for these things which you see, the days will come when there shall not be here left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And they asked him, Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign when this is about to take place? And he said, take heed that you're not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for this must first take place, but the end will not be at once. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my sake. This will be a time for you to bear testimony. Setting it therefore in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries would be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and kinsmen and friends, and some of you they will put to death. If you will be, hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. And then verse 19, that's the last that we'll read in this sitting. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Jesus begins to talk to his disciples. And if you were following with us in the last few Sundays in this text, we looked at Luke chapter 19 and 20 and now 21. We see that there are occasions where groups of people will gather together, and like the Pharisees, and last week like the Sadducees, who, even though they did not believe in the resurrection, they want to trick Jesus with their questions. And so their motivation was not that kind. And so attack after attack after attack after attack, it seemed like, Jesus was going through. And when you get to Luke chapter 21, the beginning verses we did not mention, but it goes along with what we'll mention next week with the deacons about the money and And there was a widow who had given money, and this poor widow put in more than anyone else because she put in everything that she had. She put in from her poverty, 2 copper coins. And Jesus notices that. He saw that she gave everything that she had. And that made an impression. So Jesus begins to talk. And notice what he says. He begins to talk about the temple, how beautiful it is, and how fantastic it is. Oftentimes when I study the Word of God, I try to envision pictures to help me to understand the temple. And weirdly as it may seem to you, when I think about the temple and its size, I think about the Target distribution center way up on 5S. Go all the way through there and go toward, Fultonville and Fonda and all that. Right, yeah, thank you. And many of you have seen a huge place, Target. That's huge, pretty big. You can see that from the thruway. Don't look at it when you're driving, but if you're a passenger, you look over there, you can see. And it's huge. Well, the temple in Jesus' day, think of that size. Think of that tremendous structure. The temple was the marketplace. I like to think of the dollar store here in the town as the mall. The Junction Mall, and I'll often go to the Junction Mall and get my stuff, and Colleen and I joke about that. Where are you going? I'm going to the mall. That's where I'm going, to the mall. But in Jewish times, the temple was a place where you did everything. You went to worship. You bought things there, and particularly when you were sacrificing animals, you would get those animals there if you did not have your own. The temple was the central place of gathering. And Jesus said, one of these days, that beautiful temple will come on down. And there were some people who got upset over that. You mean as beautiful as it is, this is going to be destroyed? No way. Yes, it will. And it did. It was in 70 AD. That very structure was destroyed. How sad it was. And then Jesus went on to say something even more fascinating than creation and its beauty. Not only would those things that humans have built and made it look beautiful be destroyed, but God talked about how that we will begin to destroy each other. And he said there'll be wars and rumors of wars, and people will start to break you down and to persecute you and to hurt and to harm you. Listen to those words again in verse number 12. He said, but before all this, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my namesake. And this will be a time for you to bear testimony. I think about that, and I think about the life of the disciples. And I'm not going to this morning go through all of the lives of the disciples, but I'd like to talk about Peter and John. And the book of Acts, the Bible talks about Peter, and he's gone through the land preaching and teaching. And the rulers and leaders of the land looked at them, and they put them in prison, saying, you are unlearned and ignorant men. And how come you have all this wisdom? Well, they will put them in prison and let them go. One day, the Bible says that they were walking toward, in the book of Acts, they were walking toward the temple by the beautiful gate, and there was a lame man there. And he stretched out his arms, and he asked for money. And as he was begging, and saw Peter, said, Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that old crippled dude got up and walked. That old crippled man got up and he walked. And he was healed. And those looked on and said, how in the world were you able to do that? Peter said, don't look on us as if we are anything good. But it's by the power of Jesus that did this. And the same Jesus whom you crucified is the very reason this man stands here well and alive. You know something that was fascinating about that situation? Peter did not have a script before him. He didn't study beforehand to make sure he had all his Greek words right. And he didn't consult the commentaries and the Jewish scribes and rabbis to make sure he had everything in place. He, at that moment, God gave him the words to say to meet the need that was present with him. And Jesus said to the disciples, in the last day, it's going to be that way. And beloved, you and I are living in the last day. And we have opportunity to talk about the wonderful things that God is doing in this old world. And sometimes we get kind of nervous and we say, well, I'm not a preacher. I don't know exactly what to say. Just open your mouth and God will lead you to speak about him. You know, the more we spend time reading his word and studying his word, the more we saturate ourselves with God's word, it becomes part of us. And so it just oozes out of us. It just comes out naturally. We don't have to force it out. It just happens. And that we spend so much time with God's word, we're like Moses. But Moses spent time up on the mountain with God and he came down. The Bible says his face shone. He was bright. Now, Moses didn't recognize that, but the people who saw him recognized that. You see, it shined not because Moses thought of himself as such a great person. Moses spent time with God. And it was in those end times, those times of persecution, those times of distress that Jesus was saying to his disciples, that when you spend those times, lean on me, trust in me, believe in me. And he goes on to say, for I will give you a mouth, in verse 15 of our text in Luke 21, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict, and you will be delivered up by every parent and brothers and kinsmen and friends, and some of you they will put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But I like verse number 18, but not a hair of your head will perish. What does that mean? Remember way back yonder we mentioned that little phrase that was read in our reading, the apple of my eye, and how that talks about the pupil, and how God said in Zechariah chapter 2, and I believe it's verse 9, that when you touch my people, you touch the apple of my eye, that God reminds us that God cares for us so deeply that he notices everything that will happen. Everything that will happen. If you'll just take a moment as we close this morning, and if you have your Bible still open there, turn to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Then, let's see here. And verse 17. And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight. I know you by name. Moses said, I pray thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you the name of the Lord, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. I will be gracious upon whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy upon whom I will show mercy. Gracious and mercy. Gracious and mercy. That word gracious, if I were to describe it to you in the Hebrew, it literally means to bend down and to pay attention to. To bend down and to pay attention to. I think it was Benjamin that when I came in, I saw him moving back and forth. Not Benjamin, right? Oh, I love that young man. I love to see the energy. I wish I had the energy he had. And just pretend that Benjamin came down, right down there, which he's prone to do if you don't hold him. And so, gracious, I will bend down and I will pay attention. Hey, Ben, how you doing? Ben or Benjamin, which one? You know, hey, Ben, how you doing? How you been? I'm bending down. God, when God is gracious to us, he bends down and he pays attention to it. Now, one of the important things, for those on the radio, one of the important things in bending down is you get right on their level, right? And then, not only will I be gracious, God said to Moses, but he said, I'll be merciful. The word mercy means to pick up. So I bend down, hey man, how you doing? Come here, and I pick him up. And I noticed mom and dad doing that when he would go by. Boy, he'll just squirm in your arms, you put him down, he'll go back and come back, and you bend down, and you pick him up. And when you pick him up or her up, there's safety there. There's comfort there. Many of us know when a child is hurting and they're afraid and they come to you crying, help me, help me. What do? Do you push them away? I don't have time for you now. Oh, of course not. You know what you do? You bend down. You take them and you embrace them. That's what God does to his people. I wish I could say to you, as much as is in my heart, when you go through difficult times, and we're living in difficult times today, we come in this building and someone, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. Well, I'm doing fine. But we don't tell it all, do we? Because there's a whole lot more down there. There's a whole lot more stress. There's a whole lot more hurt. There's a whole lot of more brokenness down there. We don't talk about it. Why wouldn't they share it? Because people don't want to hear it anyway, we say. Or they might post it on Facebook and tell everybody my business, you know. So we don't share everything. But God knows it. And what God does is says, child, come here. I know you're going through some difficult times. And he bends down to where we are. He's gracious. And he doesn't stop there. He's merciful. He picks us up and he wraps us in his loving arms and says, not a hair from your head will be harmed because I have you. I have you. Beloved, we're going to dismiss in just a little bit. And maybe some of you might be able to stay with us and go downstairs and have a wonderful time. That's great. But we're all going to leave here. We're going to go our separate ways and go right back into the world we left when we came in. The house and all, whatever is there, whatever is not there. Know this, come what may, God's mercy and God's grace is with you. We're living in the end times, but we're not here alone. We're not here alone. Good and gracious God, thank you for your mercy and kindness and your steadfast love. That while these days are difficult for many and the struggle is real, you promised your people bless every one of us. And you have not lost any of us, that you have us. You're in control. It will be okay by and by. Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Right now, we invite our ushers to come as we receive our tithes and offerings. Praise and thank you for the opportunity to receive these gifts. We ask for a blessing upon them. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Let us pass the peace. What a wonderful joy. Wow, that's great to be able to pass the peace and to share greetings. And he said, well, Pastor, you kind of cut it short there. I didn't get all the time I needed and wanted to be able to share things. Well, if you stick around with us downstairs, we'll have more time to do that down as we gather and we eat. As we come to our time of prayer requests, I wonder if there's prayer requests you would all wish, would like us to remember this morning. Yes?
I would like to have prayers for my friend Shivana. He knows why.
There we go. Prayer for Pray for Savannah, God knows why. I wonder if there's others. Continue to pray for Mrs. Teeny. We place her through the prayer chain. She's in ICU currently now. We can continue to pray for Kathy. Remember, of course, Laverne. I mentioned to some on last Thursday, they celebrated 71 years, wedding anniversary. And No, it wasn't last Thursday. Was it last Thursday? It was one of the Thursdays. Was it last Thursday? Yeah, that's right, because she was still in St. Peter's. She came, yes. And so Laverne was able to, she wasn't in Peter's, she was at Albany Med. And Laverne was able to come to see her on their anniversary, I do believe. And I know he saw her the other day. So anyway, if you can keep Kathy. Savannah in our prayer. Are there any others? Okay, let us pray, shall we? Father God, as we gather together in your presence, we thank you, Holy Father, that we can lift our eyes to the hills as the old believers did in their pilgrimage, as they walked up those stony paths toward Jerusalem. And sometimes there were dangerous paths. They would lift their eyes above the hills because they recognized their help came from heaven. It came from you. And we are doing the same thing here in our seats here at Westina Church. We're lifting up our eyes to heaven. Perhaps we're in our car or in our homes as we're listening to this online and on radio. And we're lifting up our eyes to you because our help comes from you. Our hope comes from you. Our healing comes from you. Our all comes from you. And Father, we will pray for those that were mentioned, but think of Savannah. You know the need right now. And I'm so glad you do. And I'm so glad to know that no matter what the need is, it's not too big for you to handle. It is not too heavy for you to lift, nor is it too small for you to recognize. You know it all. And we pray right now for that need to be met. I pray for Kathy, and thank you for the tests and the medicines and doctors and nurses and technicians and all the rest that you use to give care and to help and relieve pain and discomfort. And Father, I pray for healing for Kathy. I pray, Father, that you will be with Kevin and Mike and Laverne. Father, I pray for our world today. And then, Lord, I want to say thank you to those who are here today who brought their children and brought little ones. Thank you, Father, for that. Oh, how wonderful it is to look out and see children and to hear their sounds. Thank you. And I pray that you'll bless them. I pray that you'll protect them. I pray that as they're growing and developing, that you would cause them to grow and develop well. And that disease and sickness will not hold them down at all or long at all. You protect them from all sorts of dangers and harms that might surround them. Protect them while they're home and at school, at play, wherever they are. Thank you for our children. Thank you for each one who's here. And as we spend a few moments in silent prayer, Holy Father, we pray that you will hear our prayers. And we remember the words who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and turn to our last hymn of praise, Morning Has Broken. If you're able to stand with us, we invite you to do so. His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.